evening. Welcome to the porch here on Firefall Talk Radio, live from the Firefall studio here at Spreaker.com. Getting back to basics, the red letter basics. I don't want to know anything else. Taking a look at the Word of God, and especially the Book of Acts Church. They weren't perfect. They had their problems. They definitely had some personalities and some issues, but they got the job done. They knew. Excuse me, they knew what to do, and it didn't matter what was going on, didn't matter how they felt, it didn't matter what the threat was against them. They knew one thing and one thing only. I have a job to do to prepare the way for the return of the King. And our desire here is to get you to that place, to restore the priesthood of the believer, and to get that world-shaking influence that the early church had about the Lord, not about denominations, not about buildings, not about personalities, but about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And to do that, we have to accept the fact the church age is not over. And as it was on the day of Pentecost, so it is now. So that's what we're here to do. As you can tell, I'm a little fired up. And also, as you can hear in my voice, I'm a little beat up. But who cares? If you support us, that's great. I appreciate you. If you don't, you can go to FirefallTalkRadio.com or on SolomonsPort.org and find out how to do that. But here's the deal. As long as I can, I will. And when I can, I won't. I am at the Lord's behest. I am under His command. His will be done. A couple of praise reports and prayer requests. Getting through them. As always, I will start out. It's been a rough week. I've had one of the worst cases of food poisoning I have ever. I've never really had food poisoning. I've had things upset my stomach, but this is third day, and I'm told I have two more to go. If you want to go on a cleanse, this is not the way to do it. So I'm going to sound a little weak at times, but I don't care. I'm sold out to who He is and what He's asked me to do. And it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. So I ask for your prayers for a quick recovery. And for provision for this ministry, for my family. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for His calling in my life. I'm thankful that even at a moment when you think that your next breath could be your last one, it doesn't matter, because you have the hope of heaven. You have the hope of eternity. You have the hope of being in His presence. And there's nothing the enemy can do to you. He can't steal anything. And that frustrates the heck out of him. Nick in Dallas. I will spring back. I've got a lot more to say, but I'm going to save it. It fits into what we're talking about. Nick in Dallas. His mom's having some adverse effects from a medication she's on. He's asking that we pray for her healing from the side effects. She's got numbness and difficulty with her hands and feet. Hey, let's face it, folks. I get it. Doctors have their place in society. But big pharma, pharmacy, the drugs that they put you on will heal one thing and cause 27 others. If you watch the commercials for the stuff they want you to go on, there's all these side effects that when it's done, you go, I'll just keep the one thing that you're trying to take away, and you can keep those 47 other things. Nick said he had a friend in high school named Ronnie who could quote the Bible with the best of them. But he's gone down the dark path into heavy metal, and he and his girlfriend, Margo, they have three kids. He's not heard from them in a while, and he's praying for the Lord to send a believer to help them come to love and accept Him. Well, you know what, Nick? It may be your calling. Go find him. Yeah, just maybe your calling to go find him. You got to get proactive, brother. You got to get in the game. He asked for healing with my friend and for my wife, and he's asking for prayers for me. He needs reinforcement and deeper hunger to spend time in prayer. You know how you do that? You fall in love with the Lord. set all this other stuff aside, turn off Christian television, close the night, you know, whatever books you got, and just get open and honest before the Lord. Stacy in Fort Mitchell, her praise report for the day is Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Stacy, I want you to listen closely. Well, this is going to be fun. Listen closely to tonight's teaching, and then go back and look at your verse again. She said this is truly her goal, for him to empty her heart so he can fill it and make it pure. And she said it would be lying if it was easy. Of course it isn't easy. We live in a world that doesn't want it. An enemy doesn't want it. Our flesh doesn't want it. And that's what makes it so special. Prayers for her and her family. Things are changing, getting better. She said there's a new couple in the Fort Mitchell crew that they're helping out. Kim made the connection and it's taking root. The guy's a veteran. And so Stacy's been able to help him with his treatment and stuff at the VA. Please pray for their protection, salvation, healing, and deliverance. That's Ronald and Christina. Come on, some folks out there. Hit it for them to get saved, healed, and delivered. Prayers for the communities, trying to still find a local covering, but nobody seems to get it. Nope, they don't. That's why it's called a remnant. So you got to look for the remnant. You got to look for a leftover piece of the original piece of material, because the traditional ones and the ones that are a part of the bigger bolt, they don't get it. So she's praising God for me. Thank you, and for SRT. You guys are in the heart of it. You have it. Fort Mitchell crew is thankful for you and your team. We're praying for a blessing so your ministry will grow. Thank you. Excuse me. You're going to hear that a lot, but don't let it bother you. Kim in Fort Mitchell, she's thankful that God is so very patient, loving, and forgiving. You're getting it, Kim. You're getting it. She says she loves the Father with all her heart, and she wants to thank him for not giving up on him and for protecting him and for all the blessings in her life, for this ministry, for her family, for her children, her sisters in Yeshua's name. Said, Father, the enemy is attacking all of us believers very strongly right now. It's not easy. I'm praying for guidance, for strength and faith, for Richard, Lori, Stacy, and I, and all the others out there. I'm praying for protection over our families, pets, houses, cars, for healing. Father, help me to see clearly what you want me to do in the struggle that I'm in. And I pray for people to get saved and delivered in Yeshua's name. You're getting it, Kim. You're getting it. You don't see it, but you're getting it. And that's all we got for praise reports and prayer requests, but that's okay. Tonight's just one of those nights. So, Father, I praise you. I praise you. It doesn't matter if the fig tree fails to blossom. Doesn't matter if there's no fruit on the vine. Doesn't matter if it's hot. Doesn't matter if it's cold. Doesn't matter if I'm full or I'm hungry. I've learned to abound whether I'm in need or not. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, Yeshua. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that it's empty. He's not on it anymore. All the icons, all the jewelry, all the plaster of Paris stuff with him on the cross, he's not there. He's not on that cross. Oh, by the way, he's not in the tomb either. The angels declared that. He is risen. And he sits at the right hand of the Father in fullness and power. And he is coming again to judge the living of the dead. And, oh boy, Lord, we say come. We thank you. We thank you for salvation, for healing virtues. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Father's heart. Bless this time. Empower me and encourage me, Lord. Quicken my mortal body. Let my words be yours. And let what you want done to happen tonight. And I give you all the honor, all the glory and the praise for all that I have, my family, my home, my pets, my possessions, my wife, my sons, my dogs, the roof over my house. Doesn't matter whether it leaks, I got one. And I just love you, Baba. Had to get that in there. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. And I will tell you this, I know for a fact that this came straight from the throne room, because I sat here in my office today working on this, and this flowed in a way that I have felt periodically but haven't felt in a while. I've struggled to sometimes to get it together at the very last minute. This flowed like living water from the throne itself. Can I tell you how many times I had to stop and throw my hands up in the air and begin to praise him and throw a thumbs up to my Lord, thanking him. Go with me to John chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. So he needed to go through Samaria, came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Yeshua, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. And it was about the sixth hour, which is 9 a.m. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Yeshua said to her, "Give me drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Yeshua answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, who it is who says to you, 'Give me drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with." You see, because travelers, they carried this little leather sack around to draw water from when they came to wells. Said to you, "You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Yeshua answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Now understand, it's 12 noon, I'm sorry. She's drawing water late in the day. She's drawing water at the highest point of the heat, because all the other women have gone earlier in the day, and she's rejected. The Lord will find you if you're rejected, and he'll offer you a drink of living water. So she said, "Give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." And Yeshua said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Yeshua said to her, "Have you well said, I have no husband? For you've had five, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." Basically, he read her mail. She'd been married five times, and she was living with a man that wasn't her husband. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Yeshua said to a woman, "Believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Yeshua said to her, I who speak to you am he. So as I sat here today, what really inspired this is I began to recount my journey to where I am now. And actually, it was a conversation with Joe Citrone. We were talking about the death of a recent celebrity named Denise Matthews. She used to be in the 70s and 80s, a part of the rock and the world with Prince. Her name was Vanity. And then she got saved in the late 90s, and then she got into evangelism, and she died this week from kidney failure because of all the drugs she did. And I'd spoken to Denise a number of times in the late 90s, actually early 2000s. I was trying to get her to work on a film project that I was a part of. She was afraid to get back into the industry. She was afraid to be tempted back. And we stayed in touch for a while, but then we fell apart. And Joe wrote in his text to me, he said, too bad, she could have learned something from you. And my response was, maybe, but I was at the beginning of this journey. I was just at the beginning of the journey to spirit and truth, and I still had a hold of some of the old religious thinking. So tonight's lesson, if you want to call it a lesson, is called The Journey to Spirit and Truth, because it is a journey. It's not where you start. It's not when you get saved, you start here. You learn here, like the woman at the well. You have to find him, and you have to meet him in a place where you suddenly get it. The journey to spirit and truth is you get saved, and maybe like me, you get what I call radically saved. You are on fire, or you're just burning really hot, so much so you scorch people. And in the midst of all that is a fear. There's a fear that you're going to backslide. It's a fear that you're going to lose this moment. It's a fear that the enemy is going to come steal it from you because he's constantly hovering nearby telling you he's going to steal it from you. You're afraid you're going to go back to your old ways. You're going to be rejected. I mean, all these external pressures come on you. So what you do is you cling to it with religion. You cling to it with ritual. You cling to it with this scheme or that scheme or this way of doing things. You get caught up in all the wrong things. But then somewhere down the line, you learn to worship the Father in spirit and truth because it's the only way you can. See, when he says in spirit and in truth, it's really a single concept. It's not in spirit and in truth. It is in spirit and truth. It's a singular concept. True worship of the Father is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals his truth and reality to those of us who worship, and it's done through our salvation in Yeshua. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. He's the bridge back home. He's the thing that reconnects you to Abba Father. And it's the Holy Spirit that connects you to the throne room. In John 14:17, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. If you have a Bible and you can underline something, underline, will be in you. Stop seeking the Spirit outside of you. Stop believing, oh, we had a great service today and the Spirit showed up. The Spirit was in the room already because he was inside of each and every one of you. Every time you worship in your home or your car, in the backyard, in the bathroom, in the shower, he's in you. He will never leave you. And according to John 15:26, when he comes from the Father. He proceeds, he emanates directly from the Father, and he'll testify of the Lord. He's always there. And the mistake of religion, the mistake of the false teachings of this day is, oh, you got to conjure it up. You know, we need to get the right music. We need to get the right spirit in the room. Stop. Stop the foolishness. Stop complicating things. And just understand the simplicity of it all. He's in you. So the Lord asked the woman, the Samaritan woman, for a drink of water. And she begins to talk to him about a well that contains water that was dug by Jacob into the ground until it found underground water. He's talking about a different water. He's talking about a water that has life in it because it's moving. It's not stagnant. It's not contained by a well. It's flowing from heaven. It's flowing from the Lord, flowing into us through the Spirit and out of us. It's on the move. See, when he spoke this to her, he was speaking to people that understood the concept of drought. So when you live in a land that is prone to drought, you're pretty aware of where water sources are and what the water quality is. And springs and rivers that ran all year were very few. So they relied on cisterns or jugs to catch and store the winter rains and wells to tap underground water tables. In the Jewish culture, the term dead water referred to standing or stored water. Living water means it's moving. It's a river. It's a spring. It's rainfall. And such water was precious because it was fresh, came directly from God, and that's why it was the only water used for ritual washings. The distinction between dead water and living water is why the woman at the well was confused when he was offering her living water. You see, Samaria had no river. There's no way the water could have been fresh, moving. This is well water from a well that Jacob had dug a long time ago. But he's offering her something better. Are you feeling something? Are you starting to see something? Let me just go for it. I was going to save it later, but every time you go to a building or to a ministry looking for a sip of the water that they drink spiritually, what you're getting is well water. Living water flows to you and through you because of the Spirit. But see, the Lord mentioned living water again in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles in John 7, verses 38 and 39. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing him would receive. Believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Yeshua had not yet been glorified. And seeing at that time of the year, during the Feast of Tabernacles, it was usually a dry time. So there was an emphasis on water. So here he is in the setting with everybody listening, and he steps forward and he makes an extravagant claim, which he does so well. Anyone looking for living water should come to him and drink. Yeshua is the source of living water because he came directly from God and brought that divine flow with Him. And the only way for you and I to have this water is through the Holy Spirit. When we look to man-made efforts to obtain it, buildings, rituals, icons, whatever, when we look for man-made efforts to obtain it, we're back to digging wells and carrying jugs to grab a little at a time. See, the concept of the fountain is that it's different than a well. A well requires that you manually, very physically, arduously dig and draw out the water. But see, Yeshua is talking about a fountain. In a fountain, the water springs to the top. It doesn't have to be drawn because it's pushed through by what's behind it. And the availability and accessibility of this divine life, this living water for all believers, it's always on. The tap is always open. It's never off. And if you're not drinking, it's because of you, not because of Him. Some of you tell me how thirsty you are. Drink. It flows freely from Him to you via the Spirit and should be flowing through you. But then why are we in such a spiritual drought? Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now we're talking about living fountains of water. Not just living water, that's the flow. But living fountains, that's you, that's me. That's our brothers and sisters in the Lord if we'll just let it flow. Revelation 21:6, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. I'm thirsty, Lord. Flow through me. Flow through me so that I can give a drink to that person that's thirsty, whose lips are parched, who hasn't had any. I don't want to give them religion. I don't want to give them form and formality and ritual. I want to give them living water. I want to take away their thirst. But see, in a world of fashion and fad and individual effort, we want to make wells and jugs. Why do we do that? That's our natural, fleshly effort to think that we need to be a part of the equation. How can we perfect perfection? We can't. But yet we still try, and so did Jerusalem. Many times throughout by the prophets, they were cursed for the mishandling of the waters. Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have made for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And that's what we do in church, and that's what we do in religion. And that's what we do for all these people that try to get you to think that you need them to get to where you want to go. You don't need me. You don't need these teachings. You have all that you need in Him and the Holy Spirit. The only thing that you should get from me is the hunger and the desire and the fire to do it for yourself. Because if I've made you dependent upon me, then I've failed. And that's never been my intention and never will be. So as I sat here today and I began to think about my journey, the journey to Spirit and Truth, I realized when it started. It started when I understood that it was all a matter of the heart. That it was all a matter of my love for him and my love for others, as I pointed out in my book, success and deliverance changed when I stopped hating demons and I started loving people. And let's be truthful, some people are very difficult to love. Some people are very unlovable. But you have to see them with his eyes, not yours. I began to realize that it was a matter of the heart. And my heart wasn't where it needed to be. Oh, I loved him. Believe me, he who's been forgiven much loves much. And he forgave me for a lot. Gave me back the family I discarded. Gave me back everything that I didn't deserve in the first place and made it better. And then he called me to serve him, which was never my intention, but it was always his. And then he began to mold me and began to break off the hard edges. And there's nothing comfortable about that, because when you get pruned so that you can grow and the sap can flow better through the vine, it's pretty uncomfortable. Even these last couple of days, I've been pruned, inside and out. But the fact is this, I sit here right now knowing that it's by his power that I do this. Has nothing to do with me. Never did. Last night I stood out under the stars as I took the puppy out for the last time. And I said, enough's enough. And I began to aggressively take the fight back against the enemy. Take it to the enemy. And if my wife could hear me inside through the walls, I'm sure my neighbors did too, because I was outside praying in my prayer language, going after it, pushing back, calling for fire, calling for angelic reinforcement, calling for help, calling for the Lord to do what he does in his kingdom for his own. I'm his son. And I said, enough is enough. See, when you begin to love people more than you love yourself, this becomes easier. But if all of your prayer is directed about you, if all your prayer is about you, Lord, I want this, I don't want that, I don't understand this, you're not getting it. You have to let it flow from your heart. And the minute you open the tap, the minute you open it up, the living waters will flow. And what's amazing is that it comes from the heart. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Well, the Amplified takes all the words in that and expands upon their real meaning. Now listen to what that says in the Amplified. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, and above all that, for out of it flow the springs of life. Ha, the springs of life. According to the Ryrie Study Bible, the heart represents your mind or your inner being. And the springs of life is our spiritual vitality. It's the outgoings. It is the wellspring. Isn't that what we're talking about? He's flowing from the throne room to you. It's flowing through your heart for others. But you see, none of that happens until your heart does something else. Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All of this begins when you become born again. Red letter basics. You must be born again. I found something in a treasury of Bible illustrations that I want to read to you. George Fox, seeking spiritual guidance, walked 7 miles to talk to a clergyman who had the reputation for being helpful. but I found him to be like an empty, hollow cask. He reported, "The problem with our preaching is that too often people come seeking the water of life only to find an empty cask. Sometimes they find water when the preacher with simplicity and authority proclaims Jesus the Messiah. Feed your people with the bread of life. Cause them to drink deeply of the water of life. Be careful not to confuse simple, easy communication with superficial study and shallow preaching. You can dig deep, but you don't have to come up dry." And sometimes, and this is me talking now, sometimes preachers and speakers, they can get it going. Oh, they can take their thoughts in like a plane. They can taxi down the runway, and they can get it off and flying, and they can get it into the clouds, and it can become amazing. It can become impressive, but they get so far above the heads of their hearers that the people don't even get it. It becomes a meteor that flashes past them instead of the sun shining down on them. I've been there. In the beginning, I was probably like that. I probably wanted to prove my study habits by how much I could overwhelm you with information. I don't do that anymore, because I know it's not how much I say, but what I say. If all you need is a drink to bring you back to life, I don't need to dunk you in the ocean. Because all this is about life. It's not about knowledge. It's not about how many scriptures do you have memorized. It's just about life. As you sit there and listen right now, why? Why are you listening? Because you want life. You want living waters. You want the Spirit. You want a drink. And I want to be poured out. So when we look at his statement again back during the Feast of Tabernacles, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And that's because of the Holy Spirit after the crucifixion. That's what we want. And, you know, when the Lord told the woman at the well about worshiping the Father in spirit and truth, and here's where the rubber's going to meet the road, and I may lose some more of you. Seems like the closer I get to the red letter basics, the more people wander away. And that's okay. I'm only talking to the ones that want to listen. God's not limited by time or space. When you're born again, and you're born in the Spirit, you can communicate with him in the throne room anywhere, anytime. That's why the Lord said to the woman at the well, it doesn't matter what mountain you're on. There's a time coming when that won't matter. What will matter is, can you worship him in spirit and truth? And we know that that's the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of the heart. Truth is the harmony and the nature and the will of God, and it's the word of God. The opposite of that is false. And here the truth is, the way, the truth, and the life, that we worship him through the Son, that we're born again. And I will say this unequivocally, if you're not born again, you cannot worship the Father properly. You cannot hear from the throne room properly. So the issue is not where a person worships, but how. Before salvation and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the Word did speak of wells. In Isaiah chapter 12, starting with verse 1, "O Lord, I will praise you, though you are angry with me. Your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He's also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. And yet Israel missed it. See, we don't talk about wells of salvation anymore because we have it. Afterwards, after this moment in time, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, after the upper room, it's free, flowing, and water. And when I sit in church buildings and I feel nothing, I know a couple of things. One, it's a well. It's dead water. It's not moving. Two, most of the people there are just like that building. It's dead water. We need to be living waters. We need to flow. People are thirsty. They're dying. They're dying in religion. They're dying in ritual. They think, well, if I just go here, if I go to this building, if I go to this ministry, or if I go to Israel, or if I go this place or that place, I'll be in a better spiritual atmosphere. No, 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 no. It's you. And it has to flow through you. You know, when I counsel people, and they tell me that something's wrong in their life and they're getting ready to move and they're going to start over and get a fresh start, I usually look at them and say, well, you have a problem. And they say, what's that? I say, well, you'll be there because you're the problem. You'll be taking everything that's wrong with you here, there. Changing your location doesn't change you. It just changed the view from which you're miserable. So here's this woman at the well thinking from a dead water mindset. Because the Samaritans, remember, or if you don't know, are the remnant of the northern Jewish kingdom. They intermarried with foreigners after their chiefs and nobles had been carried away in the exile of 729 BC. And they built a separate worship place on their own Mount Gerizim. And they rejected all of the Old Testament except for their version of the first five books of Moses. And their animosity towards the Jews was hundreds of years old. See, Mount Gerizim, the Mount of Blessing, it's just across the narrow valley from Mount Ebal, the Mount of Cursing. So it's a biblical place. And it's where they set up shop. It's where Alexander the Great gave permission to build the temple on Mount Gerizim like the one in Jerusalem, and he built it for his son-in-law and made him high priest. So the Samaritans established a parallel rival worship with Jerusalem, kind of like denominations today, and accepted only the Pentateuch as their Bible. And the controversy between the two was never ending. No, you must worship on Gerizim. No, you must worship on Mount Moriah. Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. And on and on and on. And again, the same fighting we see between the denominations today. And here sits the Lord, the one who spoke everything into existence, and he sets it straight. It doesn't matter where you are. It matters who you are. Because it's what's in you that allows you to worship the Father properly. And it doesn't matter how ornate the building is. It doesn't matter what you think about the place. If you're not born again and the Holy Spirit's not in you, you cannot worship him in spirit and in truth. Because the greatest principle is that true worship is that of the heart and not of a place. I didn't get that in the beginning. I assumed, and we know about that word assume, that it was the church I was in, and it was the people there. It was the praise and worship. It was the land, and the land was very anointed. None of that had anything to do with it. And it took being stripped of it, being broken from it, to come to the place of being on the journey of spirit and truth. To where, as I watch people who are not on that journey or just starting out, it frustrates me that I can't just bring you to the end. I can't just pull you to where you need to be. You need to experience it for yourself. But once you taste that water, you won't want any other water. You won't want wells or cisterns or conjured up water. You won't want to drink from people who have their special brand of water, their special flavors. And run from any water that says new revelation on it. As there is nothing new under the sun. As Solomon said, everything that has been has already been done. But your lives will be changed. But this is a process from religion to relationship to living. See, as I thought about this today, as I dwelled on it from my perspective, I get the desire for religion, rules, regulation, form, formality, based on fear. And I get the desire for relationship. But there has to come a point where it's just living. I'm just living. I'm just being. He is with me at all times. He is with me wherever I am. And I need to be able to hear him at any time, which brings me to the next point in this journey, the spirit and truth. There's a very popular concept right now, driven by some books, some teachings, and a movie called The War Room. And I have well-meaning people reach out to me and tell me how excited that they are that they can finally build their war room. I don't say anything. I just leave it alone. But the concept is this. If we go to Matthew 6, starting with verse 5, "When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Abba, Father, Abba, in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So they take that concept of go into your room, which became a prayer closet, because in these houses there were rooms where people could go privately to pray. But they didn't. The Lord's not telling you to go into that room to do warfare. He's not telling you to go into that room to do anything but speak to your Father. And intercession is really unnecessary because he already knows what you have need of. It's a moment of intimacy. It's a moment of privacy. It's a moment between you and him. And so what this false teaching has done has made people think they need that war room. They need that war closet. They need that prayer space to reach the level in prayer that they want to go. And I scream, no, 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 no. The time is coming and now is that you better be able to pray and connect to the throne room wherever you are, whenever you are, at any time. And like Elijah, when he's on Mount Sinai and the storm shows up, the Lord God wasn't in it, but then he heard the word of the Lord. He heard the whisper in the whirlwind. We're in the middle of a storm. We're in the middle of a war. You don't have time to go find a prayer closet. You need to snap to and be there in a moment's notice. If I need privacy, I have my prayer shawl, and I can get under it anywhere at any time and find it. But that's also not realistic if I'm sitting on an airplane. And believe me, I've been on an airplane where an Orthodox Jewish boy pulled out his prayer shawl and his yarmulke and his phallic trees, and he began to pray. And people, not understanding that he wasn't a Muslim and what he was doing, began to get very agitated and began to ring their bells and call for the people. And I just wanted to slap them all on the head and say, are you so ignorant that you don't understand that he's praying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? But I also understood that while he was being devout, it probably wasn't the best time and place. He could have simply entered into the presence of God had he been born again. So, if I don't get excited about you building a war room or a prayer closet, that will be why. You need to be able to tap into the presence in the shadow of his wings, into privacy, into intimacy. Excuse me, I got stuck on that word there. Anywhere at any time, because the Spirit's inside of you. And what connects you to the throne room is the Holy Spirit. What connects you to the mind of Messiah is the Holy Spirit. And the Lord wasn't forbidding corporate prayer, because we know that wherever two or more gather, there also is he, so we need that. What he was talking about was privacy and intimacy with the Father. The other thing is, in that day, those rooms were built into the homes. And the same word is used for chamber, for closet, for secret chamber, for storehouse. Interesting thing, too, I hate to overuse that intro, is that the concept of an inner room will be part of an end-time deception at the time of his second coming. I bet nobody tells you that when they teach on this. If you go to Matthew 24, starting with verse 27, for then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect, and the elect are the Jewish people that are on the earth at that time, for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms. He's in the closet. He's in the chamber. Don't believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. You see, false prophets and false religious leaders will persuade the masses to follow them into the desert to get their answers and see signs of deliverance. They'll take them into secretive hiding places, saying, this is the only way we can do this, like the Gnostic groups that were at the Qumran, or the small fellowship groups that were associated with the Pharisees. If we relegate our prayer time to a place, we will find that in the world, the flesh and the enemy will get in the way. If we have to have a place to pray, everything will keep you from being there. In all the activities and everything going on, in all the distractions, you must be able to come into the secret place, the hidden shadow of his wings. Because HaSatan and the fallen and their demonic offspring will keep you as busy as you possibly can be so that you cannot pray. There's no greater counterweapon against prayer than busyness and distraction, which is why you need to keep your prayer time with all diligence, anywhere and any time. And those prayers should come from your heart and not just your mind, which gets us back to the flowing of the rivers of living water. Jonathan Edwards said this: I should think myself in the way of my duty to raise the affections of my hearers as high as I possibly can, provided they are affected with nothing but truth, and with affections they are not disagreeable to the nature of what they are affected with. Basically, what he said in that statement was, I should get you so emotionally in love with the Lord and so emotionally high on that love that that's my duty to get you to fall in love with him. John Piper, pastor and author of Desiring God, says, the fuel of worship is the truth of a gracious, sovereign God. The furnish of worship is your spirit, and the heat of worship is the vital affections of reverence, fear, adoration, contrition, trust, joy, gratitude, and hope. But there's something missing from that analogy, namely the fire. The fuel of truth in the furnace of your spirit is not automatically produced. It has to be the fire of the Holy Spirit. So here I sit today. Been a struggle. This last almost hour has been a struggle. But so what? Life's not always going to be easy. And in the days ahead, teaching and praising and worshiping and doing what we need to do for the Lord, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be uncomfortable. But I don't care. Revelation 12:11, scripture that I've always lived by. And they overcame him, the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. You can't shut me up. Sickness can't shut me up. Tribulation can't shut me up. You know why? Because it flows from my heart, and I'm so in love with him, I won't shut up about him. I'll find a way to get him into every conversation. I'll find him a way, even in circumstances where I'm told to leave him out of it. I'll intertwine it so deftly they can't get it out. A couple of years ago, I got caught up in a situation that put me on the news. And you know, the news deals in sound bites, and they're always looking to cut apart what you say. But I made sure that he was stuck in my sound bites. They couldn't remove my faith. They couldn't remove the Lord. They couldn't remove the Word. And you want to know why? Because the water was flowing. And once I open the tap and the Spirit starts to flow, it's going to happen. Father, right now, from the throne room itself, throw the tap wide open and flow into your children. They're hungry, they're thirsty, they desire you. Lord, knock them off their feet like a wave and let them feel you. Let them float. Let them know the joy of the Lord. Flow through their heart, flow through their life. Touch them and change them. Reveal to them religion. Reveal to them ritual. Reveal to them all the things that is keeping them from where they need to be. In love with you. And I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. And let me add to that, may the Lord flow through you. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.